Welcome back. It is May 9th, Season 2, Episode 45 of the Let Me Be Frank podcast, and the Apollo curse is finally over. After waiting over 100 years, the curse has finally been broken.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was. I had to read up on that. Was it that the horses didn't race at age 2?
Yes. So in the Kentucky Derby, it's all 3-year-olds, and horses that didn't race at age 2 hadn't won since 1882 when Apollo did it.
Wait, that's news to me that the horses are all 3 years old?
Yes.
Is that for every horse race? Is that just
no, just the Derby.
Why is that?
I have no idea the rationale or the reasoning behind it. I just know that's a fact.
It's fascinating. But Brian, before we get too deep into this, this is probably gonna be a new segment we're gonna be going. I have a confession to make. This past week, we're just gonna go and say dumb shit we've been doing.
Yes.
This week, I've been listening to that Yodeling Kid single more often than I'd really like to admit.
I still haven't even heard it. What is it called?
Famous. And there's someone just blatantly wrote it for him, or he covered another song because he's talking about he wants to be famous for loving you like a woman.
Mm.
And I'm almost positive he's 12.
And from like downstate Illinois. So
yeah.
That's God's country. He doesn't know about that shit till he's like 18.
But he could be getting primed for marriage within the next few years.
That's true. Selling him off.
Let's see. What is this?
He's 12, but in like celebrity years, he's aged about 15 years over the last 6 months.
In like 2 months, you'll see Yodeling Kid. Where is he now?
Yes, exactly.
Honest to God, though. Let me see. I was blasting it rolling through Wrigleyville today.
And the patrons, I'm sure, were very excited for that.
Mm-hmm. He's got a fantastic voice.
He does. He is the pride and joy of Illinois. Fight on, Yodeling Kid.
God bless him. All right, continue. I just want to get that off my chest.
Yeah, so back to the Kentucky Derby. For those who didn't see, the favorite Justify was the winner. Sixth year in a row that a favorite has come in and won, so shame on everyone that doesn't like betting the favorite, which is me. But that's how it's been working lately. If you would have bet a $1 Superfecta and hit it, because the fourth place horse, so the Superfecta, for anyone who doesn't know, is getting the first, second, third, and fourth place horses all correct. The fourth place horse was 85-1 when the race went off. That jumped the Superfecta price up for a $1 bet to $17,000. So if you hit the Superfecta, you had a nice little payday there.
I saw a woman won like $5 million off something.
She bet a pick six, I think, which is just picking the correct horse, the winner, for six straight races, which I say jest. That is quite the feat in and of itself, because I've probably watched 40 horse races in the last 2 years and picked two winners. So, A, it's probably me being just a shitty gambler and horse handicapper, but it's also shows that it's not the easiest thing in the world. So, yeah, I think it was a pick six bet. She picked six straight winners and ended up winning off of like a $18 bet, like a little over $3 million.
Jesus. Well, good for her.
Yeah, imagine that.
Have you heard of the Alpaca Kentucky Derby that goes on?
I have not.
I was reading up on this. Apparently, there's an Alpaca Kentucky Derby held on the same day just before that helps to determine. It's like a predictor for the winner. And guess who won that one? The Alpaca that was for my boy Jack. So that was the LMBF sponsored horse.
It was. That was. I'd like to think we made the change there, because when we were talking about him, he was 30-1, and then when the race went off, he was 5-1 as the third favorite in the race. So when we talk, lines change. That is a famous line that I heard from some like sports handicapper in his podcast. I immediately turned it off after I heard that.
And honest to God, though, do you think a good name will change a line significantly?
100%. A good name or a good story. If you look at Patch last year, the one-eyed horse, that thing had no fucking chance of winning, and everyone's betting on it. He went from like 40-1 to 15-1. It was crazy.
Patch is just veering hard right the entire race. Yes.
They can only put him in left turn races because he only has the left eye and he can't turn the other way.
He's an ambi-turner.
Yes. But yeah, Justify the winner. You'll see him back in action, not this weekend, but the following weekend in Baltimore for the Preakness, second leg of the Triple Crown. It's crazy how short these horses have to like recover and get going again, because this fucking horse didn't race as a two-year-old. That's a full year between races, and now all of a sudden he has to go 2 weeks.
Hey, you know what? They'll race as much as you ask them to, when you tell them that they can have as much sex as American Pharoah does.
Good point. Good point. American Pharoah makes a shit ton of money. It's projected $30 million annually for just getting laid and impregnating other horses.
God bless him.
What a life for a Triple Crown winner. We'll move on.
Bringing in $30 million a year just to bang. Okay.
Yeah. What an investment by that person, by the way. The owner of the horse, what an investment.
Yeah, he just just brings in money doing nothing for the next, you know, for the rest of his life.
Yep. We'll move on to the NHL playoffs. The story that does not die, the Vegas Golden Knights are in the Western Conference Final, defeated the San Jose Sharks, and they await the winner of a Game 7 that will be played Thursday, Winnipeg and Nashville. I would say easily the most exciting and fun series to watch thus far in the playoffs. Game 7 will surely be full of big hits and a rowdy crowd. But the Eastern Conference, is it finally the Caps year? I feel like I've asked this 7 times. They're in the Eastern Conference Final for the first time in 20-plus years, I want to say. And they did it with an overtime win in Pittsburgh, finally getting over that perennial hump that is the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they get the Tampa Bay Lightning.
This is, they're right now, the Caps are like the dog that finally caught the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And
so I guess the question is that I want to ask you, is this the letdown series where they just get shit pumped by Tampa Bay, or is it the one where they somehow just keep going?
You know what? Donnie did promise so much the amount of winning, get tired of winning, and they are from DC.
They are.
So I'm going to go if they're going to keep winning. So, I mean, I don't know what do you think, Brian?
It's such uncharted territory. That's the problem. We have no idea what the Caps are like in this situation because we've legitimately never seen them there in our lifetime. It's been since we were toddlers that they've been here. With all that being said, they obviously have a great power play. They have a great group of forwards that can score. Holtby can be one of the best goalies in the world. However, Tampa Bay just annihilated a really good Boston team, and the Lightning seem to have everything going for them. Everybody's scoring. They've got the PB&J line that just won't quit. Vasilevsky's been really good. Their defense is really solid, and I want this series to go 7 games. I just feel like Tampa Bay is too good, but at the same time, the Caps have overcome a lot of things to get here already.
Yeah, the Caps are America's hockey team right now. I'm rooting for them.
They are. They are. It's a wild turnaround that the Caps have made. But
Brian, what's your opinion on the Marchand licking situation that's somehow still happening?
Great question. For those who are unaware, Brad Marchand has been licking people on the ice for a couple playoff series, and then in the regular season. It's just weird. Like, he's a weird dude in general. He's a dirty player. He's incredibly talented, but his shit streak of just being an asshole and making dirty plays is going to hurt him throughout, you know, his air quote legacy, which is a term I hate to use. But when you look back on him, it almost feels like a wasted talent. Not that he really isn't playing to his potential, because I think he is and then some. But it's these conversations that we have to have. We don't talk about how great a player he is. We talk about why the fuck is he licking people.
I was thinking about this. What do you How do you react if you're a player just to neutralize his effective licking? Do you go for the full French kiss when he goes in for the tongue?
No. I think you have to high stick. I think you have to swing up and try and cut off his tongue.
I feel like you got to go. You got to accept the homosexuality aspect of this and just start making out on the ice. I think that one time, I think it kills it for the rest of them.
I don't know. I mean... I guess the real question is that what Marchand's going for?
He could be discovering himself on the ice.
If that's what he's going for, then you've got a whole nother set of problems on your hand because you're giving into it, and then all of a sudden, we're not watching a hockey game anymore.
I can't even imagine. That's the best fan base to like. I would imagine trying to watch two guys kiss.
A Boston Bruins.
Yeah, they wouldn't go for that for sure. I had another theory that why he was doing this. Could he theoretically give it himself mono and just be licking the entire team to try and get everyone mono?
Very possible. The hard part about that is you sometimes don't get, I'm not a scientist nor am I a doctor, but I'm pretty sure that mono sometimes doesn't manifest itself until days, maybe even weeks later. So you can have it, and I don't think it'll pop up like right away.
All right, that's a flaw in my theory then. Okay.
You never know, though. You never know. I mean, he very well could have done that.
Another virus then.
Yeah, I mean, it is very possible that he's going with the biochemical weapon of mass destruction where he's just trying to get everybody on the other team sick. Maybe he assumes that Callahan is the ringleader of that team and everyone's sharing water bottles with him, and all of a sudden half the team's going down with that sickness. Smart move on his part.
I'm shocked like a player hasn't resorted to that before, like biological warfare.
Yeah.
Or if they have the flu. There's purposely rubbing
just
up against
sneezing in the other team's bench.
Like, I feel like that was like a back in my day. Like they wouldn't be above doing that.
It feels like an old school thing, but it also feels like a hockey thing where you're not even going to show that you're sick. So you're just going to like play through it as if nothing's going on.
Being sick in the workplace, shame on them.
Right, right.
Assholes.
We'll move on to the NBA playoffs where I'm not very often right about the NBA, but yeah. I was so fucking spot on about this Cavs Raptors series.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to come at my knees here. I was absolutely wrong, and I should
bend the knee.
I should never doubt my leader LeBron ever again.
Yeah, you even said I'm gonna feel stupid if this doesn't come through how I think it will. And sure enough, LeBron just slayed.
I sure as shit feel stupid. That was embarrassing for Toronto. LeBron is now the city of Toronto, or the mayor of the city of Toronto.
Yeah,
it's LeBronto, if you will.
I think LeBronto is a great name. He honestly deserves it for everything he did in that series. The things that annoy me, the floater he hits for the game winner, like just because he doesn't extend an arm doesn't mean he doesn't push off. Two, they should have never been in that situation. Three, the fact that ESPN showed it 10 separate times as their top 10 is further proof that this is the most ridiculous organization and league in the world. And I think I'm on point four here, but his teammates have actually played really well. And there's no need for LeBron to be in scenarios like this. So I guess it kind of piggybacks off three.
Yeah, they definitely shouldn't have been in that scenario. They lost focus for like a 7-minute period and let them back in the game. But at the same time, I feel like LeBron's always in control against the Raptors. And I don't know what it is, but he just plays mind games with them. And there's something he just knew that like what was going to happen the entire time. And he was the puppet master. And at this point, I just have to feel so bad for Toronto because they've the entire franchise and fan base was spent this entire season saying, oh no, we got young guys, we're deep, this year is different, Valanciunas is better, and they ran into this same exact brick wall that is LeBron James, and I feel terrible.
I think, okay, there are a few things that come to blame in this game or in this series. One, you have to blame the NBA because, I mean, the NBA is getting what they want. Hats off to David Stern yet again for pulling it off. But
the deep state, David Stern, leader.
Yes. Indiana should have won game seven. Indiana played like shit and they still should have won game seven. The officiating towards and with LeBron James is an absolute joke. Yes, I understand it's a protect your star kind of league, but the guy clearly does not need the help. He's having an all world, all millennium, all time playoffs this year, and he's still getting these ticky tack ridiculous fouls. Teams are getting teed up for throwing a hand at a ref, not even like actually throwing a hand, but just like a scoff at a ref. It is an absolute joke what's going on. Dwayne Casey gets a T for arguing what was clearly a charge on LeBron, but they didn't call it because it's LeBron.
I mean, yeah, they're going to get calls. I mean, Jordan got the same calls. I'm not going to.
I don't know. I never watched Jordan play, or I didn't. I mean, there was an entire, recall watching Jordan play.
There was an entire book about by Sam Smith called The Jordan Rules that was
the singer Sam Smith. I don't trust him. Don't trust him.
Yeah, this is his second career. He had a revival as a musician.
No, and I understand that. I get it. It's a league where you're going to protect your stars. You're going to give your stars some calls that other players wouldn't necessarily get. But again, what he doesn't need these. Every time he charges, every time he drives the lane, it's an offensive foul. Every single time. But you're never going to call it on him. So why not, when someone sets their feet to get in front of this bulldozer of a man, why aren't you going to blow the whistle and call an offensive foul?
Yeah, I disagree with that, but it's just, you're right that I'm just amazed that he's that good that he doesn't need the calls. He's playing, this is probably his best playoff season yet.
This is probably the best playoffs in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, quite possibly. But yeah, honestly, I'm here to appreciate. I'm not going to criticize like you, Brian.
Have I not been complimentary of LeBron this whole time?
You sprinkled comments in between.
I have to. It's my job as a journo.
Brian, it's supposed to be a compliment sandwich with a criticism in the middle, and you flipped it. There's too much bread and not enough meat in the middle of this sandwich, all right?
I don't know how I could get a bigger compliment or give a bigger compliment than he is playing the greatest playoff series in the history of the NBA.
After you went off for 5 minutes concerning the calls he's getting.
He is getting ridiculous calls.
The ridiculous notion that he commits an offensive foul on every single drive.
How doesn't he?
He's the greatest driver to the basket of all time. He doesn't commit an offensive foul.
Just because he doesn't extend his arm doesn't mean it's not an offensive foul. If defenders are going back, if they're in contact and then he stops on a dime and the other person keeps going, it is because he's pushing off of them to stay in place.
I mean, it could just be his shoulder because he's insanely strong.
That's using your shoulder. That's creating an offensive advantage, which is an offensive foul.
It's a quote unquote offensive foul.
Yeah, exactly. You're 100% right because it's not called.
It's never called because plenty of players do it.
Oh, I know. I'm not going to single him out and say he's the only one, but every single time he drives, it's an offensive foul.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. But regardless, we're going to go down a rabbit hole here. LeBron has embarrassed Toronto again. Raptors are reportedly considering firing Dwayne Casey.
They need to blow it up, I think, everything.
Yeah, I think
either. I think Drake needs to be fired, to be honest with you. I just watched the Vinsanity documentary. If you haven't seen it, I think it's on Netflix. It's pretty good. It's like LeBron actually made it, which is really fucking funny because it's talking about how basketball or Vince Carter essentially created the popularity of basketball in Toronto.
And then left.
And yeah. And it was Drake is heavily featured in it. He's also a producer, but it's kind of corny. It's cool to see like the behind the scenes stuff of like Vince Carter when he was young, and then all the issues that went into causing him to leave, being traded to the Nets and everything. But Drake has way too key a role, and for his team to get just rolled like that as the face, I think he has to take the fall. Don't fire Dwayne Casey. Fire Drake.
Fire Drake. Who do they bring in the Weeknd to replace him?
They could. They could also, I mean, Cardinal Official. You remember him?
No. Who is that?
He old Akon music. Check him out.
Oh my god. Okay.
He is from Toronto. They have Director X, the guy who makes all the music videos. And then they also have, what the fuck was his name? Oh, the super fan. He's a Middle Eastern guy. That guy's fire. Get him in there. He is the new face of the franchise.
Yeah. All right. We're both in agreement here. Drake needs to be pushed out.
He does.
And if not out of the he can still go to the game, just not in that courtside seat that the special guest gets to sit in.
He needs to work his way. They should put him in the absolute last seat of the building, and he needs to work his way down.
He needs to work as part of the pump up crew that throws t-shirts.
Yes, that would also be very solid. Make him drum. Make him be like one of the Bucket Boys or the whatever their music is. Because I think they have like a knockoff Bucket Boys up there in Toronto.
Shame on them. But yeah, just have Drake start from the bottom of the organization and get promoted from within.
You know what he should do? He should have to tailor every single one of Tracy McGrady's suits moving forward.
What was the background behind that suit? Was that Shaq's pants that he wore?
Yeah, it was something like that. It's something ridiculous where you're like, why would he ever do that?
I love Tracy McGrady as a player. I hate him on television. He's so unappealing. But
there's a lot of T-Mac in that documentary too.
Oh, okay, good. As Vince Carter's cousin.
Yes. Expected. Yes.
Oh, NBA all-time fun fact.
I know. I didn't even realize it until I watched. So
really?
Learn something new every day.
Oh, I like to throw that one. I'm surprised I haven't thrown that one out in the podcast.
You probably have. I just probably forgot it.
Yeah, that's one of my it was one of my favorite ones as a child. But on other series outside of the Cavs, nothing really too interesting going on in the conference semifinals. Ben Simmons is struggling, to say the least.
Yep.
Against the Celtics. The Vegas has been completely off on this series.
Horribly. Horribly off.
Celtics have been getting 6.5 points per game. Even I think they got 4.5 at home.
Yeah.
I don't know how that even happened. But yeah, and then Joel Embiid's talking shit to Marcus Morris, and Marcus Morris is throwing the 3-0 in his face.
Which is very hard to come back from. I think you have to swing if you're Joel Embiid. You have to swing on that guy.
I'm not swinging on Marcus Morris. Are you kidding me? Markieff will jump out of the. There's going to be two of them within the seconds of him swinging at him.
That's where you got to hope that you're. Well, okay. You got to do it at home first off. So that way Kevin Hart and like Meek Mill can run on the court and protect you. But you also have to hope that your teammates are tough enough and ready to throw down for you, because you're getting 3-0 thrown in your face. And Joel Embiid is like the only guy on his team that is giving a damn and trying his best to win this series.
Don't discount TJ McConnell.
TJ McConnell has played well, but there's only so much TJ McConnell can do in this series.
Yeah. And I appreciated his efforts last night as a short white. But yeah, that series, you know, it's essentially over. The Philly pulled out a game in Philadelphia on Monday night, but Brad Stevens is not going to let this. I don't think this is going to go to even six. I think they'll pull it all tomorrow.
Yep, he's really good, Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
People forget.
Newsflash, Brad Stevens is a good coach.
Brad Stevens, great coach.
And then Warriors, they're going to win the series. I don't think we even need to touch on that.
Nope, they're really good too.
And then the Rockets are just completely overwhelming. Donovan Mitchell, I'm going to win my bet with LMBF writer Nick Phillips, who bet me that the Rockets would not make it back, not make it to the conference finals.
It's 11-7 right now as we record Utah. So I don't know, Pete. Watch out. All right. Be careful here.
That's fine. But yeah, Donovan Mitchell can't make a damn thing outside of the paint, which is,
it's fair. He's a rookie. He's a legitimate rookie, as his sweater says. So yeah, the Jazz are like our best. It's amazing how good the Jazz are the year right when their best player leaves, and I can't even imagine how good they would be.
Jay Crowder is already 1-for-5 shooting.
Oh, God bless him. Yeah. I need him to keep throwing up shots. Good for him.
I do not. I have the Jazz plus 12, so I need him to stop shooting and let someone else. Joe Ingles needs to shoot more.
Jai can go hero ball for all I care. No. If Donovan's not doing it, he can do it.
But yes, it would have been really interesting to see what a Gordon Hayward, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert team could have done together.
Yeah, and they have an interesting decision to make this summer with Derek Favors. I think he's going to be gone.
He should. They should let him go.
And I like him as a player a lot. I think he'd be a good fit for the Bulls. But actually, we have a glutton. Actually, now that we traded, I'm arguing with myself in my head already about this.
Here we go.
That we already have Portis and Lauri.
And Waba.
Yeah, well, and Waba is a swing player, but I'm saying at the four/5 position. I don't know. There's a backlog there, I would say. It's somewhat.
Well, we're gonna draft another big, so just be prepared for that.
All right, that's fine with me. I try in guard packs we trust.
Oh God, no. Fire guard packs. You can still buy a shirt. I still have a bunch left.
I think there's still a few. They're still applicable in today's
$10. Day. $10 a shirt. Let us know if you're interested.
Yep. Venmo is open.
Is that it for the NBA?
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on to our top five with the weather turning finally. It is top five day drinking drinks. So, Pete, I will let you go first. What are your favorite five?
All right. Five, I'm going to go shitty beer specifically.
Yes.
Shitty beer is significantly better in sunlight, and craft beer is worse in sunlight somehow.
It's just a bad decision because inside the sun, you're like, the craft beer should not be in direct sunlight, first and foremost. When it is, and then you start drinking it, it's the effect it has on your body. This is meant to be drank in a temperature-controlled room.
It weighs you down.
Yes, it does. It really slows you down. So I think that's a great call.
You need something light and airy. And also, specifically in a bottle, just this is my only justification for that, is it's easier to be laying down and tilt up a bottle rather than carry up the entire can.
Trying to waterfall a can.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. For just your run-of-the-mill margaritas.
Great call.
Dueling tequilas, as our very own Pat Bovar likes to do. Three, Moscow Mules.
Okay. I did not expect you to be a Moscow Mule guy.
I'm a big Moscow Mule guy. I don't have any of the cups. Are they made of copper?
The copper cups, yeah.
I don't have any of those yet, but I should invest.
Yes, you should.
Two, Tequila Sunrise specifically. I'm not a
very
bloody,
good drink.
I'm not a Bloody Mary guy.
I don't like Bloody Marys either.
Some about tomato juice just
rubs you the wrong way. Yeah.
Yeah. And then number one, a John Daly.
Great call as well. That's a pretty solid list.
Yep.
We only overlapped at number five where I put Busch Light. Just strictly Busch Light. It's my favorite beer. You can judge me off that if you want. Otherwise, just know I like to party. Number four is Screwdriver, so I'm a big vodka guy, too.
I consider that one instead of Tequila Sunrise.
When you can get the vodka and orange juice together, it like when you're golfing, just, prep before the golf and, eat a little breakfast, hang out there, get everyone ready to go. That's a perfect drink. Three is any sort of juice, like jungle juice, whatever is being made at the party that you're at, sort of mix of things. Where you don't really know what it is, but you're ready to go. Number two is a mimosa, just a classic mimosa. It's the only way I will drink champagne. And number one is a mojito. Those things are so freaking refreshing.
I've actually never had a mojito.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you're missing out. You definitely need to have one. They're a very refreshing drink. The mint leaf, brings you back, and then the ice, and it's a nice cool drink. So let us know your five. There are plenty of them out there at LMBF Sports, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
I think the best thing you said in that top five was that the only way you drink champagne.
Yes.
Because champagne is trash.
It is trash. Okay. 100% worst alcoholic beverage there is champagne.
The branding job that champagne did to get us to believe that it's a celebration drink.
It's an all-time ruse. Like that, we should do top five worst lies of your life, because champagne it would be up there.
Yeah, I've been led to believe that champagne is a necessary part of a cheers or celebration,
and it's a very good part. And I do not agree.
Any other liquor inside my glass would be better than champagne.
When I drink champagne, it is like Kevin Durant when he drank the beer and then spit it all out.
Did you see that Kevin Love did that recently at the post game after game four at the post game?
Oh, took God.
Took a sip of the cup, just looking at it like, what the? People were saying he got JR's Henny cup instead of the regular Gatorade.
Probably. We'll move on to our stats. I just have one. It's a, like a pseudo stat, more like a fun fact. So I'll let it rip. Left-hander PJ Conlon will start in Jacob DeGrom's place. This was yesterday or Monday. So Monday in Cincinnati, the Mets announced he'll become the first Irish-born player in the MLB since World War II.
Really?
The Irish are back. The boys are back, Pete. We are back.
Oh, there we go. I'm very excited. I might need to get a PJ Conlon jersey.
PJ Conlon is here, and we are the boys in green are ready to go.
Same initials.
The Mets should make
also lefty.
Yeah, the Mets should make a green jersey and just wear it whenever he plays.
I'm all for it.
Tell me those wouldn't sell.
Oh, they would sell, and you know the Irish, they support, so.
Damn right. Come on, you boys in green. All right. That's all I got. What do you
so have? Mine's a trivia question for you, Brian.
Oh, baby.
All right. So George Springer was 6-for-6 recently in one of the games this weekend, I want to say.
Okay.
So tell me, what is the most rare out of these four occurrences?
Okay.
A perfect game, mm-hmm. and baseball history, all baseball history.
Right. Okay.
Perfect game. A four home run game, immaculate inning, or four strikeouts in the same inning?
Is it rank them in order or just what is the most rare?
What is the most rare?
I'm going to go with a four home run game.
Yep. Just beat out a perfect game. Or no, I'm sorry. It just beat out a immaculate inning.
Yeah. I feel like when Scooter Jeanette had it last year, 2 years ago, they were like, it's the first time in however long, and it was just a crazy amount of time.
That was shocking to me that it was a four home run game.
Yeah,
I thought it would be way less or way more common, because I feel like I heard Albert Pujols do it like multiple times in the last decade.
It feels like it. He's hit a lot of homers. Fuck that guy. Congrats on 3,000, Mr. Albert Pujols, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll move on to our tweets. Do you have any other stats?
I do not.
Okay, tweets. What do you have?
So it's not a tweet. Well, it was a video tweeted that it Beautiful. Was the this is bad radio. All right, I'm gonna set up this situation here. Baseball game, ump rings up the batter.
Oh yes,
clearly outside. Batter draws the line in the dirt. Ump is having none of it. Immediately goes, "You're not drawing a line." Tosses
nope.
him.
You're gone.
Tosses him, and then with no hesitation, the batter just Zambranos his bat and just walks off.
It was that was a very good description. For those who haven't seen it yet, check it out. It's been everywhere. But yeah, that just the ump's reaction right when he goes to draw the line, he like pops his fist and then screams, "Nope, you're gone. See ya."
I thought it was fake for like the first three times I watched it. It was so perfect. Like,
I know. The confluence of events was just incredible.
Yeah, like no one has it. Like it was just, perfect comedic timing in that entire situation.
Yeah, that's a good one. Do you have any others?
Nope, that was it.
Okay, I've got a bunch here. My first one is not sports, but Marco Rubio tweeted out, "Although written by an intern at Politico, this article is a reminder of how difficult it can be to discuss public policy in political press. Not only did I not back down on tax cut, I doubled down and added detail for rationale. Quote tweeted by none other than Monica Lewinsky saying that blaming the intern is so 1990s. That should be the greatest tweet in the history of Twitter.
Oh, God.
I don't know how it's not more popular. When it was tweeted at 8:15 a.m. on May 3rd, it had 136,000 favorites and 26,000 retweets.
I think the most surprising thing there is that Monica Lewinsky is on Twitter.
Yeah, I had no idea as well. She is certified or verified, by the way.
Ooh, okay. Good for her.
Bill probably stuck up for her. Lavelle Moten is the next guy. A coach emailed me hoping to join my staff. I look at his Twitter and he says LeBron is overrated. If you think LBJ stinks, who you gone recruit? Lavelle Moten, it's not Morton, it's Moten, M-O-T-O-N, is the head coach at North Carolina Central. And he is airing out guys trying to join his staff on Twitter for their LeBron James takes.
I mean, dude, LeBron James, I'm telling
you. It's
fair.
It's fair.
I'm telling you, I mentioned this before. Every kid has a LeBron, or every person has a LeBron James take hidden in their Twitter account.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I say I hate LeBron, but he's really good. I don't, is that much of a take? That's a pretty weak take.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan is the next one. Sorry about the quote, help in all caps tweet. Was that the Dodge dealer trying to figure out why my iPhone wouldn't sync up to Bluetooth? Oops, sorry. So, yeah, that's a fun one. And then my last one is from Ralph Vacchiano. He is an SNY, so that's New York reporter, I guess. On the first snap of team drills for new Jets quarterback Sam Darnold, he fumbled the snap.
Oh, no. That doesn't. Oh, man. Mark Sanchez is quivering somewhere.
We need an immediate proof of life for Barbado.
I'll tweet at him. We can tweet at verified, yeah. Verified real Matt Barbado.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll. He probably won't hear us because we're plebes without the check mark.
Sure.
For now. As we do each week, we look forward to the weekend. So, Pete, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
Cub Sox.
Oh, yeah. It's early.
It is very early. Yeah. But. I mean, I'm looking much more forward towards to the series at guaranteed rate because the Sox
English.
Could play the Sox could play spoilers to the Cubs late.
That's true.
So if we get to do that, all the better.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting little setup there. But besides that, I am looking forward to potentially playing golf this weekend for the first time in over a year. I can't remember the last time I played. It's been that long. So as long as my allergies are no longer killing me and the weather keeps up, I will be on the golf course. I'll also be at the University of Illinois, your alma mater, on Sunday for graduation.
There we go.
So, ILL. Big, big weekend coming up. As always, you can check us out at LMBF Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. LetMeBeFrankBlog.com. Any final words?
Go outside, folks.
Go outside. We'll see you next week.
The limit, I'ma dive right in it and fuck the world, cause all you do is die right in it. Can you feel me? Yeah, it's like I put aside my image, rearrange all I had, now I fly by minutes. Yeah, and the main thing is friends. Last year you were saying the same thing as them. Man, I told them I'ma be somebody, now my mama say I'm extra like a threesome. Shout it, and I'm gonna keep hustling. They told me I would never be nothing. Now I'm living my dream, reaching for the stars, and I gotta go get it right now. I'm doing me right now. I'm doing me right now. And I'm reaching for the stars, reaching for the stars, reaching for the stars. Me against the world, that's nothing. And I'm gonna keep hustling. They told me I would never be nothing. Now I'm living my dream, reaching for the stars, and I gotta go get it right now. I'm doing me right now. reaching for the stars, reaching for the stars, reaching for the stars. Me against the world, guess nothing. Funny the things people do to diminish, dump on a nigga from start to the finish. But I'm brand new, so new. Replenish the game as a whole. I do it for the love, no fame for a soul. My brain's in the clouds, got rain on my dome. I sing this song. Yeah, and all the built up aversion is only cause my life's been converting, bitches. And I'm gonna keep hustling. They told me I would never be nothing. Now I'm living my dream. I'm reaching for the stars, and I gotta go get it right now.